Hi, I'm David and welcome to the DataSource Rex podcast, where we interview data visualization experts and get to know them and their data visits that little bit better. By the end, you should learn new skills and get inspired to enhance your own data viz game. Today's guest is Eva Murray, who's a Tableau Zen master, co-runner of Makeover Monday, and just an all-round awesome person who's a great data visualization expert in the community. Welcome, Eva. Thanks for being here.
thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And I guess before I go on, is there anything else you'd like to add about yourself before we kick on?
Oh, something to add about myself. I think you've encapsulated what's probably relevant for people. I asked a friend, what's my hidden talent? Because someone else asked me the question and I couldn't come up with something. And she said, there's nothing hidden about your talents. So I guess people will just see whatever I do because it's all out there in the open.
I like that. You know, that's very honest, direct, but in a good way. Yeah, like you're not hiding, you know, there's nothing behind the scenes. That's great. I like that because it's just honest and upfront. That's great. Yeah. Okay, cool. Okay, yeah, so, okay, that's great. So for those of you who are new to the podcast, what we're going to do, the first half is going to be us talking about a viz Eva's made, just to get to understand what it's about, how she approached designing it, any challenges and things she learned along the way. And then the second half is just to get to know Eva that little bit more, just with some rapid fire questions. So I guess, yeah, without further ado, we're going to jump in. And for those of you on an audio podcast, the link to the viz will be in the description below, but also I'll be exploring it as we go along for those of you on the video podcast to see what's happening. Yeah, we're going to jump into the viz now. So let's have a quick look at it. So yes, I'm going to explore whilst you talk through, but the first question, Eva, is, I guess, would you like to give like a quick one sentence what this viz is about? And then I'll ask you the first question.
Cool. Yeah, so this was part of Makeover Monday, and we explored a data set about minimum wage levels and how they've changed over time. And for me, I guess when it comes to economic topics, there's always this thought that there's going to be, you know, waves and fluctuations. So that's what kicked this off.
Nice. Yeah, it's really interesting to see. I guess you don't see them too often, like a kind of circular. It's not a line chart, really, is it? It's like a connected scatter plot. So it's really interesting. Yeah. I don't see these too often, but it looks like there's a great story in there. So first off, the question is, what was the inspiration for this viz?
So inspiration, I guess I had seen connected scatter plots before, and I thought, oh, maybe this could work. Typically, when I work on my Makeover Monday viz and I built something, I go through just various iterations of, okay, I'll start with a bar chart, I'll try and do a line chart, just to explore the data, see what's in there, and see if something sticks out, a big jump, a big drop, maybe a gap, or something like that. And with this one here, I thought, well, I do have two different measures that I can use. Sorry, and I have to get closer to the screen. So one is the share of the workers at the minimum wage, and the other one is the share of workers below the minimum wage. And I thought, okay, how do they relate?
Okay, no, that's great. Thanks for sharing that. I guess the next question is, before we go on to how you've made it, how did you go about collecting the data? Because it seems like quite a bit of detailed data here. So it'd be cool to see how you went about getting that.
Yeah, so in the data, I mean, it said, you know, what the values were, etc. And I guess, so for the story that I built, I then would go to Google, to Wikipedia, and actually research what's happened. So especially the Wikipedia page about the Great Recession has quite a lot of detail, and it tells you kind of roughly what time frames things happened in. And then it's really also explaining what's seen there. So it's not all of it is great revelations, but rather, okay, it moved from here to there, and then this happened.
Right, I see. So that's the kind of story you started to get when you were looking into the data, which is cool. So that kind of leads me on to my next question, which is like, how did you go about approaching this viz when you created it? Because again, yeah, it seems like there's definitely a story within that data and you've teased it out, but I'm sure that wasn't as easy as you made it look on the page.
No, I think the skill is to make something look very easy, but it takes a lot of effort to get there, whether that's over the years of actually building skills and data visualization, but also for each viz itself, it's a long process to get it to look, you know, kind of simple and effortless. And with this one here, I had the dots first, and then I noticed, well, actually, if I connect them with a line, there's like some circular pattern where we go out and we go up and then we go left and then we go down again. And it might repeat the same way as again. And for me, a data visualization is just that. But if I want to actually share something insightful or informational, I need to add something more. You know, if I had just kept the line and the dots and said, you know, coming full circle, then people would have to figure out on their own what the shape means.
That's not good. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why I added annotations, and it's something I give others as advice as well to show your workings. Kind of like in math back in high school, the teachers say, you know, if you don't get the right solution, you can still get points if you show your workings. So for me, it's show that you've understood the data, show that you have done analysis. And in this kind of chart, annotations work well. In other charts, maybe you would just have a description on the side, not really in the chart itself.
Yeah, no, totally. And I think a lot of people think if they do have to, you know, put loads of words on, they haven't articulated it well. But often, yeah, if you're done well and kind of in a very refrained way like you've done, it's great to kind of tell a story or at least aid people along so they figure out what they're looking at, or it reaffirms the insights they've got. So it's like win-win, I guess. But also the choice of colors, I guess, is great because they're not dominating. Like they're there, but they're not getting in the way of the viz. So it seems like you made some considered choices there to aid but not take over the whole viz with that.
Yeah, that's the plan, to make it not black, because black would be too strong for the font, for the text and the year numbers, but a gray that's kind of a bit subtle. And that's why I had the gray background as well, just to soften that contrast a bit.
No, that's great. I'm a big user of or proponent of not using pitch black, because unless it's to draw things out, because, yeah, it just burns into your retinas. It's not good. So, yeah. Okay, this is cool. So this is awesome. So this is a great approach. So just to round off on this one, did you just literally get the data, dive in with Tableau, or did you already have an idea and did you like sketch out what you were looking for? Or was it just as soon as you saw that circular motion with the connected scatter, is that when you had that epiphany and were like, oh, there's a story?
Yeah, my epiphanies typically take a couple of hours to actually come about. So I go through the data just to familiarize myself. I try different options. I might, you know, try 10 different charts before something actually stands out to me. And to get to the scatter plot in the first place, even without the connected line or connection line, it took a little while, because, you know, typically we have measure dimension. We don't really approach it with two measures and then let's throw in a dimension. Yeah. What I typically do for Makeover Monday, I would say in 99% of the cases, is to look at the original and critique that first, so that I have in my head, what are the things I should actually improve on? Like, what's missing here? What could I provide? And it's not that every one of my makeovers addresses the shortcomings of the original, because sometimes there are quite a few, or the data isn't even there. But in this case, yeah, I went through the process of critiquing the original. Then I went into the data. I think it took a couple of hours before I got to the scatter plot, and then it took probably another hour to format it. But it was all done in Tableau.
No, that's awesome. Yeah, I've found often with other guests, there's no right way of doing this, right? Some people do pen and paper, some go explore in Tableau, and then it just comes to them. And there's many other ways in between. So it's great to see that you can get awesome results without, like, you know, just being following one method. It's like whatever works, and it definitely seems like it's working for you. And I think this is how I normally go about it too.
And I find that when every 2 weeks I choose the data set, the other 2 weeks Andy chooses it. And when I choose it, of course, I know the data before I actually then go and build my makeover. I'm a bit more familiar, and that's typically those weeks where I have maybe a picture in my mind of, oh, this is what I could build with it. It doesn't necessarily end up that way, but that is when I have a more preconceived idea, because I've already put together the data, so I'm a bit familiar. But otherwise, I just start with a blank slate.
Yeah, no, I like that. And that's one of the cool things about Tableau is, I feel, at least for me, or it seems like for others, you shouldn't be afraid of new data sets. It's actually very powerful. It enables you to like explore it, figure it out. Whereas previous software packages I've used, I'd be like, oh no, how am I going to like get to grips with this data source? So yeah, it's great to hear that you're getting those benefits too, which is cool. And it's also great to hear that, because I think we'll come to it later, but you've got like some of those design principles you've just referenced in the Makeover Monday website. Is that correct? On how to approach making a viz better? So we can kind of link to that and show that later as well.
We have a checklist on there, which is basically before you publish, you know, kind of check these things, typos, etc. Yep. We have a lot of those guidelines in our book.
That's where I'm getting it from. Okay.
Yeah, I am working on publishing a lot of that content on the website in, you know, like a nice, short, concise format for people to have tips. I've just been too busy to actually finish it. But it's
No. That's cool. Actually, wait 2 seconds. Where is it? Here it is. Yeah, so shameless plug for Eva. But yeah, if you guys want to get this, this isn't sponsored, but highly recommend you get the book. It's awesome. It's, you know, encapsulating a lot of key learnings from the site in a well thought out, edited way. And yeah, it's inspired me quite a bit, and hopefully it would, you know, inspire you guys too. So yeah, totally worth it.
Yes. Great to hear. And I just love that we were able to pack in so many visualizations from the community. We have just over 300 in there. So check it out.
You definitely get a bang for your buck. It's pretty thick. In a good way. Yeah. Cool. Okay. That's awesome. Okay. So we'll learn more about Makeover Monday in a bit too, which is great. Cause I think it's going to help people a lot as well. But let's move on to the next question, which is, what was the best insight you got from this data? What was the most like, oh wow, I can't believe this is a thing, like insight you've got?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was that it actually is, that there is some pattern to it, that we are moving in this circular pattern. I didn't expect that. And when I first just saw the dots and they weren't connected, I thought, there isn't really a shape here or a relationship. And then I connected them by the year. So this is chronological from 2002, kind of in the middle, and then going left, down, around, and up and down. So I'm like, wow, this is cool. They actually follow some sort of thing. And it would be great to now see, you know, the previous 20 years and, of course, in the future to see if is that a thing, and to maybe even have someone with a bit more economics background comment on it.
Yeah, because there's totally a pattern here. So it's kind of connects, well, no pun intended, connects the dots, but also, makes you think and could lead on to bigger and better, more deep dive stuff which is cool. Okay, that's awesome. It's really interesting because I guess this is the time when the recession was in full swing at the top right, is that correct?
Yeah.
So there's a huge percentage of below or at minimum wage, which isn't ideal for anyone. So it's kind of good. It's going backwards now. But
So where we want to be is kind of the bottom left-ish corner as far as possible. That should mean that there's other people who are above the minimum wage, which is a logical conclusion. So the 2006 and 2017, those years, like, that's where we want to be.
No, that's a good point. And at least for now, it looks like the trend is there. Hopefully when 2018, 2019 data comes in, we've stayed here. But interesting. Thank you. Okay. With this one, what skill did you learn the most from doing this?
Formatting. and especially with, so Interblog, what I find with the annotations that I put on a specific mark, like I did here, it's really good to fix the size of everything first, because otherwise they move around again once you change the size. So to really say, okay, this is the size of my dashboard, this is my axes, and that's not going to change. So now I'm going to start working on the text so I can then position it correctly. And a lot of copy and paste, but then of course changing the text, but to make sure that the format of each annotation is the right one.
Yeah, that's I think previous guests who Sarah Bartlett was raised this too as one of the things she would like to see is like text box or text format copying between areas, because I think that would. So I'm still going to find that feature request, and I'll put a link below. But that would save so much time, right? And it's like it's I'm sure it's doable. It's probably just lower on the list, so if we can get it bumped up, hopefully next time that can save you some time. But that's cool. I think that's a good thing though, because a lot of people often neglect the formatting. So it's good that you raised that, because it is like you have to learn when to do it, because I guess you want to only like make it look pretty, put the fine detail on once you've locked down the layout and structure. I fall into that trap too, where I kind of go, oh, just make it look good now, and then you move stuff around, you're like, oh, I just wasted all that time. Well, I've got to double up. I think that's a really good insight to have from this. Like, do the formatting at the end when you're happy with the structure. Great. Okay. With this, I guess this is quite an open-ended question about like what project is next for you. But I guess you already have quite a few projects on the go, so you either can talk about those or future ones you're planning to do. So, what's like the one or two big projects you're running or doing?
Looks oh, like, yeah. Oh God. So I guess first up in my day job, we have our XSL Experience conference in June. I'm the MC, so that's like a big project on my horizon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, preparing for that and yeah, getting everything aligned. So there's a lot of work behind the scenes. And then we've got Tableau conferences. So I manage the, well, basically I own the Tableau conference for us in Europe and in the US. So I've got to figure out what we want to do.
Oh, wow.
So that's going to be fun.
Yeah. I guess you mean like topics, content, that kind of stuff.
When you everything, go, yeah. Booth layout, swag, who's going, what we're doing. Yeah.
Wow, that's.
I have a lot of people who support me, of course.
Oh yeah.
But the ultimate decision is mine. Which is fun too.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess it's one of those kind of things where like it's just a lot of work, but hopefully it'll pay off, and it will. I'm confident it will. But it'll be like when you see it all, you're like, yeah, that was worth it.
Yeah, hopefully. I typically have a 30-40 page PowerPoint master plan with all the details in it. That,
nice.
Everything. Yes, and then. I've got a couple of things on my mind. It's just that, well, I don't know if it's too soon to talk about it, but there might be another book in the future.
Ooh, exciting. Okay, yes, great. Yes. I'm looking forward to that. Sign me up. I trust you, yeah. But that's exciting. I think it's great, I guess, when you have that critical mass of ideas and you want to scale it out to other people, right, in a very concise way. So it's great to see you've got another book in you, which is great. So watch this space. Cool. Okay, no, thanks for that. That's really insightful. I look forward to all of those. And I'll be at the Tableau conference in the US, so I'll make sure I swing by, say hi, and see all your hard work.
Yeah. Good.
Great. Which leads me on to one final thing. Is there anything else you'd like to promote, like things you're working on or like doing for the community, which you think other people could benefit from knowing about or seeing?
I think joining Makeover Monday, doing the weekly practice, building vizzes on different topics, and joining Viz Review to learn more by hearing feedback.
Okay, no, that's great. So I've got the Makeover Monday site up now, and again, I'll put the links in the show notes and the description below for all the content. But would you like to just give maybe like a 30-second summary of what Makeover Monday is for those who don't know what it is?
Yeah, absolutely. So Makeover Monday is a social data project that runs globally via social media, mainly Twitter. Mm-hmm. And every week we provide a data set and an original visualization, so a bad one typically, and we ask the community to make it over using the same data, same topic. And yeah, it's been a really good learning experiment for most people who participate, and we have about 100 to 200 people every week. Wow. Joining us, and it's great fun. So hashtag Makeover Monday, and you can find more on makeovermonday.co.uk.
Amazing. Cool. And I'll put all those links down too, along with the book. But that's great. And actually, I'm looking at the screen right now on your homepage. It's kind of got those steps I was thinking about. Like, so it looks like you've laid everything out very easy for people to kind of know how to follow, what to do. So it's really, I really love Makeover Monday. I recommend it to everyone in my work and people I meet in the community. Because it's just a great way to, like, I guess, practice, meet like-minded people, and have awesome experts like Andy, Kriebel, and Eva to I guess help guide you, give feedback. So, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys are just doing this out of the kindness of your heart. So this is all like a passion project. So they're just doing it to help people at scale. So
yes, very much. Yeah. So it's not our main job, even though it might appear that way. But it is something we do outside and on top of work.
Yeah, so I totally, get involved. You won't regret it, and you'll just learn so much from everyone. Even if you just follow the hashtags, you'll see so many cool things. But I highly recommend you kind of participate, because you'll get so much more out of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's awesome. Okay, so we're going to move on to the rapid fire questions now. So for this section, I'm just going to ask Eva a series of questions. Look to get some short answers, but this will be cool to kind of learn from someone, an expert like Eva, just on what makes a tick, if there are any tips you can give and stuff like that. So it should be pretty valuable for everyone. Okay, great. So the first question is, I put this one in recently because I find it often gets brought up. Pie charts, do you love them or do you loathe them?
A bit of both. I hate them when they're not used the right way, but if it's kind of like a clock, so just two different colors on it, two different sections, I'm perfectly fine with them.
That's cool. That's cool. Okay, I like that. It is. I think it is one of those it depends. Like if used in the right way, then yeah, it's good. If not, because I often find there's like some blind hatred for it, and I feel that's not the best. They're not brilliant.
They can be really valuable, but if they have 10 slices, they're no use to anyone.
Yeah, or if they're all like equal size and very close, you can't tell. Yeah, I think 99% of the time there's better graphs out there, but there's still a place for them. Yeah. Okay, cool. That's good. I like that. That's a good answer. Okay, next question is who or what publications for DataViz do you regularly follow?
Oh. Good question. I'm quite absorbed in Make of a Monday and the whole social media side of things. So I don't know if I really regularly follow something or more as things pop up, I read them or I listen to them. So there's different podcasts, but it's very ad hoc. I have to admit, I'm not like a very loyal follower of anyone, but it's probably reflective of what I do in life. I don't really wear just one brand of sports thing. Like I just pick what I like.
Yeah, no, but I think that's good though, and that's a good problem to have because I feel in this DataViz space, there's so much content. There's no way you could process it all anyway. So I think, having that like picking what you like approach is very valid.
And I think with all that content, some people feel the pressure to read and view everything and be able to comment on it and be able to say, oh yeah, I've watched that or read that. Mm. And I'm like, no, like just pick what you can actually what you can absorb and comprehend and all of that. Like, let's not stress ourselves so much.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And like collectively as a community, I'm sure we'll cover it all, but you don't need to be an expert for everything. Right. Yeah. That's a good takeaway. I think, we haven't covered before. Yeah. Don't get overwhelmed, with all the stuff, like be inspired by it, but you can't learn everything. okay. That's good. I think also you touched upon Twitter, like even though they may not be sources of like written publications, there's often lots of good debate and chats about DataViz if you follow the right people such as yourself. So I think that you've touched upon a good point there. Like Twitter, for as much as I don't use it, I only really use it for DataViz. So that's good. Okay, here's a good one. So what would be your for Tableau newbies, what would be the number one tip or trick you would recommend?
Can I do two? They're very related. Hover to discover, and if in doubt, right click.
Oh, I like that. So hover to discover, do you mean inside the tool itself?
Inside the tool, if you hover over something, you're like, okay. And then also, if in doubt, right click, because the context menu is so rich, basically in everywhere you can click. So that's what I would do.
Oh, I like that. I didn't think about that. I kind of take it for granted, but again, if you don't know what you don't know, you're not going to know to do that. So that's an awesome one. And is that a similar thing for right clicking? You're saying like right click on elements to see what you can do with them?
Yeah. Because I think quite often the right click context menu is a bit boring. If I type something in Word, I'm like, the only thing I really use is maybe paste just like plain text. But I don't use a lot of the other stuff. But here, like in Tableau, I use it all the time.
Yeah, I guess that's true actually. Yeah, when I thinking about it now, I do that quite a lot too, because you kind of trust it, right? Like if you right click, chances are you're going to be able to find what you want to do. Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought of that one. This is great. That's what I love about this podcast. I learn quite a bit too, not just my audiences, so thanks for that. Okay, cool. That's two good tips. It's a good bargain. I like that. Okay, what is your favorite chart type?
Probably the bar chart. I am quite fond of a scatter plot, but of course that's not as commonly used. You don't always have the data to use it, but a bar chart, I mean, you can't really go wrong with a bar chart.
Yeah, no, that's true. And I guess what would be your reasons for that? Is it more how it can show proportionality and it's just clearly ranked?
Because it's just so easy to understand. I mean, most people, even if they don't work with data at all, they would understand a bar chart that's ranked in, sorted in descending order and has a nice zero axis, not truncated, and it has good labels. And you just, you have all the information for understanding it. I think most people would be able to say, well, the one at the top is the longest, biggest, whatever.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's instinctive. Yeah, that's a good point. It's, yeah, when you have to kind of sort of scratch your head or tilt your head to figure out what you're looking at with more complex charts, it's, I guess it's doing running counter to what it's meant to do. Whereas a bar chart, yeah, you're right. There's no room for ambiguity, really, if it's pretty clean and simple.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I like that. It's, the stalwart bar chart. Doing its job. I like that. It's good, solid and reliable. Okay, cool. Here's one. So other than Tableau, what other tools or software have you been using for data, viz and dashboarding?
Yeah, so I'm really a one-trick pony when it comes to the visualization. I just use Tableau. Mm-hmm. I don't even use PowerPoint. I've done it recently, but only because my viz was a big number and some text, and there was just it would have been overkill to go through the effort of formatting that in Tableau when I can do it much quicker in PowerPoint.
Right,
But otherwise, I don't really use. I mean, maybe pen and paper counts.
Mm-hmm. But that's fair. That's fair. I can also extend that to like maybe the data prep side of things, because that's a key component to data viz. Is there anything you use to wrangle the data to then make it look good? Or
I've used prep in the past. I haven't really needed it lately because I didn't really have to prep data as such.
Right.
I've used Alteryx as well. And just, you know, some changes in Excel, because sometimes it really is just something you need to fix in the spreadsheet.
Totally. Yeah, I still find a place for Excel more as a data manipulator rather than a exploration tool now. Okay, no, that's good. That's interesting. I often find Tableau's so versatile that, you know, you don't have an itch to like go learn another tool. I'm in that same camp. Not to say the other ones aren't any good, it's just Tableau services my needs pretty well, and you know, it's why bother learning a new thing if you can do everything you want, right? So
I agree, and I'm sure I could benefit from learning other tools. I just don't have the capacity. Like, I have enough going on in my life that I don't need to, you know, put extra hours aside every week that I would rather spend riding my bike.
Yeah, so like DataViz can be, you know, you can get invested in it at work, learn there, it can be a hobby. But I think I've found myself sometimes I've spent too much time vizzing things. Like you start at 10 p.m. and then you blink and you're like, oh, it's 2 a.m. What's going on? So I think you're right. You've got to have this balance because you've got to enjoy life itself. And so I think, just some note there, which you just reminded me of, like, engage in all this stuff, but also have other things which keep you fit and healthy and enjoy life. Yeah. Okay, great. Okay. Oh, here's a nice one. I think you've been using it for a while. What's your first version of Tableau that you started using?
7.0.
Wow.
That was when we met.
It was actually. Yeah. So fun fact, even though we're in different countries now, Eva and I met at the Sydney, Australia Tableau user group, like 5, maybe 6, I can't remember, 5 or 6 years ago, right?
Something like that.
Yeah. But that was around sort of version 7, late version 6 kind of world. And yeah, it's a different world. Like, you know, no map data outside of the US, no level of detail calcs. There were so many quality of life things. So I think, I'm not sure about you, but do you appreciate a lot of the stuff Tableau's been building in since then?
I do, because I mean, I don't think so much anymore about how it was like harder back then, but I remember when you open it, you have the white canvas. Back then it was gray.
Mm.
Because I remember that throwing me off when I first started, like, why is it gray? Gray to me means I can't do anything. You know, like, how do I start this thing? And another fun fact is that when we first met at the Tableau user group, we actually also found out that we were neighbors. We literally lived in the buildings next to one another.
I forgot about that. Yeah, because we finished up Tableau user group. We were walking home and then we just kind of kept going. And then it was like, wait, where do you live? Are you following me? And it's like, no, no, I live here. And it's like, oh, I live next door. And yeah, it was.
Are you like number 102, 102? Yeah, I was in 104.
Yeah, it was the Palladium. It was right next door. That was a lovely area.
I was at the Richmond. There. Yeah.
Ah, nice. Yeah, I missed that place. Yeah. But no, yeah.
I mean, the views were amazing of the Sydney skyline and everything and the fireworks. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally. Side note, not DataViz related, but yeah, if any listeners or viewers haven't been, Sydney, Australia is an amazing place to visit. And if you can live and work there, even better. Yeah, it's very chill. what was it like? Yeah, great beaches, good work ethic, 9 to 5. Yeah, they're pretty strong with that.
Good pay.
So yeah. Yeah, good pay and good engaged data viz community too, which is good.
Yeah.
Always a bonus. So yeah. But yeah, it's quite a coincidence, but a good one because we've kept in touch and it's great to see how we've both grown and our data viz careers have where that passion has taken us in our careers.
Yep.
So yeah,
definitely.
It's good to see. Awesome. Excellent. Okay. Okay, we're getting near the end. I think it's the last question. What is the one feature or features you'd love to see Tableau implement?
Ooh.
I mean, they have released quite a bit, so you don't have to say anything.
Yeah. It's probably in the formatting side. I would love to just for formatting to be easier, like Sarah already mentioned, copying and pasting text. Containers. So on the left side of the screen, you always see the container structure, right? You can drill down and you see. I would love to be able to move containers in that menu rather than having to do it on the screen because that can be painful.
Yes, that would be amazing because it is like you have to kind of remember the structure when you're looking in the viz and interacting with it, but it's kind of slightly detached, which is like...
And maybe even giving it names that I can say, this is like the top bit or like so that I know what it is.
Yeah, it's like header, this is footer, this is section one or whatever.
Yeah.
Because, that would be amazing. Just for ease, quality of life, and knowing that when you select something, it's selecting what you actually want it to select and not maybe, something unexpected. So that's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe if I get a second wish, I would love it if what I produce in Tableau Desktop looks exactly the same in Tableau Public.
Yes, I'm completely behind you there, right? So I'm sure you've probably gone through the same, right? Where you have to publish it and it doesn't look just right. So then you have to like change it. Hope it then the change you make kind of rectifies what happened on public. And do you find yourself going back and forth quite a few times?
Yes, I had one viz where I think I did that 20 times. That was super frustrating.
Oh.
Now I'm at the point where typically I kind of just leave it as it is because I can't like... I've moved on. By the time I publish, I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'll move on to the next thing. And it's hard for me to go back.
No, totally. It can be quite a, I guess, energy stealer. Like, you've got a momentum, you've reached the end, and it's like, oh, there's more. And the worst thing is there's more when there shouldn't be more work. Yeah.
And it's not, if it's a minor touch, that's very predictable, but you already expect the viz to look the same. And when it doesn't, you're like, okay, how do I actually get it to look this way?
Mm.
And sometimes it then looks so wonky on desktop on your screen. It's like, how did this translate? Like, it's unpredictable,
Yeah, which is a bit suboptimal because, you should expect what you do. I mean, I'm sure there are good reasons, but again, that user expectation isn't being met. And I get that too. And I'm sure a lot of other users get that. So that's a good one. If it's not already, I'm sure we can make a feature request and link so we can get people to vote it. Because just for those of you who don't know, Tableau has, a forum where they ask people to submit feature requests. And if they get more and more votes, they get higher and higher up on the priority list for their engineers to look at. So it's great that they listen. So all these features we've talked about during this podcast, often those have come from people constantly requesting and building momentum for that. Like maps outside the US. I think we were in one of the user groups in Sydney where they finally announced there was going to be Australia postcodes. And the whole room was like, yes! And also, Mac compatibility for Tableau Desktop. And again, everyone's like, that was always the number one question asked every time. And it's like, So they do listen.
Now we have export to PDF to PowerPoint. Everyone's like,
maybe they're going. I guess if there's enough people, but there is a balance. I guess it's like, do we really need that? Okay, cool. No, that's great. Look, we've got to the end, and this is great. It's I think I've learned a ton from this, and I'm just going to bring it back up again just to recap. If you guys haven't already, get the book. It's the Makeover Monday book. Amazon. Okay, that's the way to get it. I'll put links below. Either to your site or to buy it from Amazon. It's highly, highly worth it. But also, if anyone's going to at the Tableau Conference Europe or the US one, you'll be there, both, right?
We'll be there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you'll be at your Exosol booth, but I believe you'll also be, I'd be surprised if you weren't doing like a, either an Andy presentation or make a Monday presentation.
We're doing
or
a Monday Live, yes.
Live. Yeah. Oh, exciting. Those are always fun. It's good competition, healthy, it's fun, everyone has a laugh and everyone learns a lot. So
yeah,
I think that's one of the good things. And that's probably why also you're one of the Zen Master, which is lovely demonstrated on your t-shirt. You do really give back to the community. You've got a lot of knowledge, but you also foster and support, engaging with the community too, which is so powerful. And I think a lot of people are grateful for that. So thank you for that. But it's
good.
Yeah. It's just saying I don't see other tools or maybe the tools I use. So that's one of the selling points I find with Tableau, that people take it upon themselves to give back. And not just kind of hoard all its knowledge and be like, it's mine. It's going to help me or no one else.
Yeah, exactly. It's much more fun when everyone gets to learn and improve.
Mm. Great. And so for anyone who wants to sort of follow Eva, all the kind of her social media handles have been up on the screen this whole time. They'll also be down in the show notes. I highly encourage you follow her and make her a Monday and stay engaged. There's a ton of cool stuff coming out all the time for that. Before we go, I know I keep asking you, but is there anything else top of your mind? Do you want to tell anyone or anything like that? Or are you're good?
Maybe just my new slogan, to go beyond the viz and actually, show your insights, but also don't stop at the dashboard. I think the dashboard is a starting point rather than the end point. It should be the point where people say, oh, let's explore this further. And then we go into it rather than I've built the perfect dashboard and now it's the end of the conversation.
That's a good point. I like that actually, because a lot of people work towards that goal of I'm done. It's fine. We can stop talking about it now. But yeah, you're totally right. That's a good mantra or a good motto to have. Go beyond the dashboard. It's just the beginning. Oh, I like that. I'm going to write that down.
Good.
That's awesome. It's very inspiring. Thank you. Okay, cool. Thanks very much, Eva. That's it for this episode. And thanks for listening. So be sure to check out the show notes for everything we've covered today. And if you're new to the podcast, consider subscribing to stay up to date with all the latest episodes. Also visit datasaurus-rex.com/welcome to see all the other data visualization content we have to help you out. Until the next time, thank you.
Aye, thanks.